Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is. Holy name.
Now we jump. If we jump.
For His works toward men. Now if we jump.
The Lord gave me, and most of them came from a psalm. When you think about who made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them, and He's our friend. And He loves us and He cares for us always, at all times, and His promise is that He'll never leave. He'll never forsake us? Woo! And it's a guarantee. I mean, as soon as you buy something new these days, they want you to buy insurance on a brand new article because when it breaks down, it's insured. It's like it's brand new. And you're telling me I need, you know, like if you buy a washing machine or something big like that, you better buy that insurance right away. They always ask you, do you want insurance? So you have a guarantee. Woo! And we have one that paid the cost for us constantly. This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald. I am pastor of CAS Ministries, Caring and Sharing Spirituality Ministries. What an honor. What a pleasure. What an opportunity. Oh, my goodness. Just come and talk a little bit about the word of the Lord. Again, this is Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Caring, Sharing, Spirituality. Caring and Sharing Spirituality Ministries. CAS Ministries, of course, going to include Parmenay. I hope you had a great week. I had an incredible week. I tell you, though, not that bad things don't happen, but the guarantee is, which we didn't have to buy as soon as we found out about this great thing in God, is that he says he promises never put it on you any more than you can bear. And with that, he has made a way of escape. Now, that's God's guarantee in serving him and in loving him. And it seems throughout the Old Testament, he always used the phrase, for I am the Lord God. I am the only God. It seems as though he was always, and I guess the constituency was challenging him, and we do the same thing. God, are you really going to do this? God, I mean, instead of believing him, we're always challenging. And he's always having to say who he is, what he can do. And can I find anybody that will believe me? Anybody that will love me? Anybody that will trust me? We do to a certain extent, but then we worry and we wander and we have this and we have that. So, yeah, it's not fully. So we're here, and that's why I said you must hear the word of the Lord, because faith cometh by hearing. In order for you to increase your faith, he has a formula. He has a guarantee. Try not to make up stuff. So many times we have these little things saying, oh, it's church is just the building. It's not the building. It's the church in me. That's not a scripture. That is found nowhere in any book in the Bible. Maybe your book, but that's not inclusive in the Bible. The scripture says the faith comes by hearing. And how can he hear? Unless, I can't quote, let me see. How can he hear unless I'll hear from someone who's sent? And how can he be sent unless he, how can he preach unless he's be sent? So it takes, the way the Lord set it up with a fivefold ministry, it takes preaching, the preaching word of God. I just left that conference in Chicago. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo, Jesus. Every night and during the day, did I not hear the word of the Lord? And was my faith not increased? Just hearing. And this is put on by Bill Winston. Google Bill Winston Faith Conference 2016. It's on YouTube right now. And it's free, and you can listen to it. And phenomenal. Came to Chicago with $200. And it wasn't because he was poor. He was a part of this Tuskegee. He flew a fighter plane for the United States military, and then he had a degree and he studied work for an IT. So he's obviously very quite brilliant. But when he came to the ministry, you know, as they did back then, you know, you're not supposed to have anything if you're in the servant of the Lord. That's not scripture either. But that's what they told us. And so he sold, got rid of everything, came with $200, staying in a lady's house with his family, didn't even have his own home. And now this is his fourth plane, and he's purchased a shopping mall. And not that things tell you or describe your blessing, because there's a lot of rich people that aren't living the blessing. But I tell you what, if you're in the kingdom of God and you're the seed of Abraham, you are supposed to have the blessing. You are supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. You are supposed to be the head and not the tail. Now, that's scripture. But his faith, and faith is that which locks the door. And we're going to talk a little bit about reaping the benefits of God as head. And, of course, we're studying this month of September and take the helmet of salvation. So that's where our little theme kind of stems from, the helmet, the head of God, the helmet of salvation. And this week we're examining choosing God as your head. Now, God promises, my peace I leave, my peace I give. And it's there for you if you will receive it. Now, I use the parallel example here of Adam and how that Adam had everything. There was nothing that he lacked. There was no toiling. There was no working. There was no worry. He didn't have to want for anything. Temperatures were perfect. He didn't even have to put on clothes. He walked with God in the evening and talked with God. Talk with God every evening. Hello? Talk about having church. Yeah. He heard, because faith coming by hearing, the word of the Lord every day from the Lord. Isn't that awesome? But was it enough? Was it enough? Now, he had dominion over everything, used his entire whole brain. We only use one third now because the other two thirds, which has been proven, when you speak in tongues, it comes alive. So it's there to worship God. Well, if you're walking with God every evening, I'm pretty much sure you're worshiping him with your full brain. And that's the only time we have usage of our entire brain, is when the two thirds that is dormant, that is not cognitive, that does not have knowledge that we've inputted and retrieved from, is active when we're speaking in tongues. Isn't that something? Because I'm always wondering. I'm like, Lord, we have a whole brain, only even the smartest person doesn't hardly use one third. Why the whole brain? I know you have a reason. Because when you worship him in spirit and truth, that the whole brain works. What a God. That's our God. And the perk, I'm talking about the benefits. One of the benefits is that when you beg, and you speak in tongues and you praise him, your body immune system is boosted 45%. No wonder when you worship and you praise God and you just feel so elevated and so lifted, rejuvenated, replenished, and re-nourished. Because it just, the worship, it takes you out of your humanly woes and stuff, and it elevates you into heavenly places. So what's the benefit? Your body, immune system boosted 45%. I'm telling you, it works. But now Adam had this brain, whole mind, and he just decided that wasn't enough. In my opinion, he was waiting on an opportunity to go to that tree of knowledge. He said, I want more. That's to have all this, everything, but that one tree. I will not be denied. And he wasn't denied. If he had really been smart with him walking with God every evening, don't you think God would have shared everything with him? But there we are. He did not want to wait. And that's how we get in trouble so much. Somebody said, I would wait on the Lord, but he doesn't move fast enough. Whoa. Since he created time, what time did you create? What was it that you added to anything? You said, I will wait on the Lord, but he just don't move fast enough. Okay. Well, let me know how that works out for you. We saw how it works out for Adam. He wasn't willing to wait. He talked with God every evening. Lokarabashine. Can you imagine this? Well, we don't have to imagine. We can talk with God every evening too, morning, day, and noon and night, because we have His Spirit living in us. Ah, revelatory perspective. Check this out. If Adam talked with God every evening, shouldn't we? Isn't that what God planned to commune? I've heard people say, why don't you speak in tongues? You got the Holy Ghost. It's not necessary. Well, that's not a scripture. That is not in there. Now, again, it's something somebody made up because it's convenient for who? Them? That's not. What does the Lord say? Pray without ceasing. Bam. That's His idea of communicating. And how does one pray without ceasing when you have to talk and do other things? You have the mind of the Lord. You keep your mind on the Lord. You acknowledge Him in all things. He's in your heart. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are just saying Jesus, 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 Jesus 24/7, but you have Him in your thoughts. Your mind, your set is in tune, is open. It's, you know, it's like having a radio on, the airwaves are there. That's God's idea. And somebody, I mean, a bishop actually said that over the pulpit, who's in leadership, national leadership, well, international leadership. It's just not necessary. Is that because you don't do it? Try it. You'll like it. Okay. It really works. So the scriptures that I chose are from Psalm, 3rd chapter, 3rd verse through the 8th. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. 2nd verse. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help from him and God. 3rd verse, but thou, O Lord, art my shield, whoo, for me, thy glory, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. See that thing about the head, benefits of God's head? He lifts your head up. Ha! 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me and out of his holy hill. 5, I laid me down and slept. I awakened. For the Lord sustained me. That means he could sleep. He had blessed sleep. 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people, for they have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, and save me. Oh, my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Ooh, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Whoa. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. And what are we talking about? Take the helmet of salvation. Thy blessings is upon thy people. Oh, the men would, like the song says, oh, the men would praise the Lord for his wondrous works unto the children of men. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his wondrous works to them. If we just praise the Lord, if we just praise the Lord, if we just praise the Lord for his wondrous works toward men. Oh, my goodness. That's why he says pray without ceasing. He says rejoice evermore. Even though David said his enemies were increased, he said it could be 10,000 of them. I don't care, because he knows the scripture that says 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right side, because God does to the power of. Not 1,000, then 2,000, then 3,000. It just goes from 1 to 10,000 to 10,000 to thousands, to hundreds of thousands, to hundreds of 10,000. I mean, bam! Ha! God's amazing. He's so good. So, my question for you, is God enough? Is he enough for you to wait on his timing? We're at the convention. Pastor Bill was saying, yeah, you know, trust God. Learn to trust him. And he mentioned, trust him for that one headache. That's what I started out. And that's my own personal testimony. Do with it what you want to do with it, but that's my testimony. I just wanted to learn God. And I wanted to see, is it necessary for you? Maybe not. But it was something that I wanted to have that type of relationship with God for myself. So I wanted to learn him. And the only way for me to do that, in my perception, was to strengthen myself. So I would just trust him for a headache. I said, Lord, I know you can do it. Then when it came down to food poisoning and some bigger things, I had already seen God work, because I know he says, whatsoever you ask in my name with faith, believing, I'll do it. And he says he was a healer, and by stripes we were healed. Is there anything wrong with taking anything? No, because after 40 years, I had that experience, 40 years of being saved, had that experience of a broken femur, never taking an aspirin or anything, nothing synthetic in my body for 40 years. Man, when I broke that femur and I was going to refuse the morphine, right, I found out that it was something that I needed to get through that. And I'm sure some people would have gotten through that without taking it. I've heard some since then, they just took the pain. And I thought, well, I'll have this experience, you know. And I thank God, because then I learned something else about the Lord. I really had to trust him when I was taking that stuff because of the side effects and the other things that happen. And thank God I'm back to nothing in my system, because it really, I went in with a clean slate, no diabetes, no cholesterol, no high blood pressure, nothing. And then after taking that stuff, all those things started developing in my system. I'm like, okay, we're finished. So I stopped immediately, especially with my liver plates and things messed up and I was having trouble. I said, I had no problems. But the point is, for me, I still had that experience. And now I have more compassion and I understand better, whereas before I was just saying, well, I don't take anything. Okay, that's fine. And during this period, I did. And then I'm back to, I don't take anything. So I've had both experiences and I know how to have that compassion, because I've been there. When you have that kind of, because I have my five babies without anything and just took the pain. But this pain, there is no comparison at all. But I learned myself. I increased my faith and I learned God in all kinds of ways. So I learned that I wanted, you know, to trust and to wait on him and to see just this experience, how he works. And I'm thankful that I did. In each case, I learned to trust him in a different way. That knowledge was augmented for me. And I found out that, you know, he's a giver of peace, no matter what, you know, to learn to be abased and learn how to be abound, like Paul has said, and therewith to be content, for godliness with contentment is great gain. And the difference that I learned there really is a difference between being thankful and being grateful. Because being thankful for things is a little more short-term, in my opinion, and that, oh, good, thanks, that was great. But when you're grateful for something, there seems to be a deeper meaning and a deeper attachment, and it leaves you satisfied with what has happened. So that you're very appreciative of it, and it's a connection. And that's what God is asking. Will you be satisfied with me enough to trust me no matter what's going on in your life? He never promised any of us a perfect life. That is not why we're here. We're here to help others. But God didn't promise a perfect life. But he said that I will love you. I'll lay down my life for you. And you can trust me no matter what. Because God actually died so that we can have peace. The subtopic is, my peace I leave, my peace I give. And that's what God said in the scriptures. He says, I'm going to give you my peace and I'm going to leave my peace. It's a sacrifice from the Lord, because this world is full of a lot of stress and a lot of turmoil. But God said, I promise. He said, I'll keep you. I'll never leave you. He said, come unto me, all you that are heavy burdened, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. Everyone's looking for rest, peace, love, joy, kindness, you know, those things that as human make us feel good, that are comforting.
This is what God has always said. Come unto me. If you just come, he wants us to give our love freely back to him. And then the benefits of allowing him to be your shepherd, innumerable beyond. He says, above all that you can ask or think, that's what I have planned. Those are the benefits of loving God. And even though David was saying in these scriptures in this third time, my enemies are just increased. And he had enemies. Oh, my. They didn't really like his relationship with his God. But God said there's no other person who was a friend like David that had that type of relationship, that had the heart, more specifically, of David. That's because David had a heart to repent. No matter what he did, how many times did he do it? As far as I can tell, once. And then he didn't do it again. Because repentance means to turn away and to not repeat. And that's exactly what David would do. He'd mess up, but then he'd repent and he will go and worship God and tell him, what a good God you are. What a great God you are. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. And those of us who need and ask for the mercy of God, God has it there for you. But when you receive it, don't go back and repeat that which you repented from. Repentance means to turn around. Don't go do it again. Because then you didn't mean it. And guess who knows that? God does. And it's about time you wake up and realize that. Well, just get forgiveness. God knows my heart. He does. And he knows whether you plan on doing that again. Well, I'll just get prayer and put it under the blood. I've heard that so many times. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Do you really think? There's an old Southern saying that I'd never heard before. This person told me this. But it says, you can't slick grease. So grease is already greasy, so you can't make it any slicker. Who are you fooling? Going out and doing things with your body and then telling God, You made this body. You understand me. He understands that you're supposed to sacrifice and wait on him and keep your body as the temple of God, not make up stuff. You're right. God is the one that created those pleasures that we like to enjoy with our body. Yeah, he's the author of that as well. But he says only in marriage. Or you made me. Yeah, for you to be committed to one person. That's why he made it and what he made it for. Not for you to take it and use it for other ugly things, because outside of marriage, that's what God, he abhors it. And he talks about adulterers and fornicators and liars and how they all have a place in the lake of fire. I'm like, oh, don't want to go there. I want to reap of the good benefits from God. Not the rewards for my evil working. I want to reap from the great benefits of having on the helmet of salvation, having my head protected, having God keep my mind and giving me a mind to serve him and giving me a mind to love him. That's what I want. I want those good things. And God promised to provide them, for he is my shepherd, and I don't have to want. He can't fail. He will not. It's impossible. All we have to do is trust on him, no matter what the situation looks like. Know that he lives in the future. He's already seen it. He's already done it. And trust him and look for him, because he moves in miraculous ways through the supernatural. It's not a natural thing that's going to happen. It's got to be supernatural, because that's who our God is. He's super. Be blessed. Woo! And know that he loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.